Luke chapter 9, verse 10 through 17. On their return, the apostles told him all they had done. This is their coming back from a mission trip that Jesus has sent them out on. The apostles had told him all they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and provisions, for we are in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Amen. So I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon this message. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Father, if there be anything distracting us, focus our thoughts, focus our hearts upon you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the apostles had just returned from their missionary journey. They had preached the gospel, they had healed the sick, they had brought hope. And now they return excited to share with Jesus all they had seen God do in Jesus' name. And the people heard of it. The disciples had an impact. People wanted to see and hear more. They wanted to see and hear Jesus. So when the disciples returned, excited from their trip, word got out. And the people came. In the thousands. And Jesus welcomed them, sharing the good news and healing them. But after a long day of ministry, and after a long journey, the disciples were worn out. They were weary. And they came to Jesus, "Send the crowd away, Lord. They are hungry, and we are in a wilderness. They need to go into the villages for food and shelter." But verse 13, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." They don't need to go away and find food. You feed them. Can you imagine the disciples' faces? What? We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we're going to go buy food for all these people. In Mark 6, Mark's account of the same incident, he says, the disciples say, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them?" Now, a denarii was about a day's wage. And so the disciples are saying, we would have to spend 200 days' wages to buy food for all these people just to have a bite to eat. Now, the disciples were not asking Jesus if they should actually go and buy food. They were just stating that it would cost way too much to feed everyone. And of course, the disciples question Jesus' command. They just didn't have the resources. "You give them something to eat. You feed this impossibly large crowd. How, Lord? All we have are 5 loaves and a couple fish. It can't be done. Sorry. Not enough food, not enough money. It can't be done." You know, maybe that was the whole point of the command. You give them something to eat. God is not limited by what can and can't be done. I often ask youth this question. So youth, will God ever ask you to do something too difficult for you to do? And on occasion, a youth responds with, "Well, the Bible says that God won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, And that's found in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And I respond, amen. It does indeed say that. But I did not ask if God would let you be tempted beyond your ability to bear it. I asked, would God ever ask you to do something too difficult for you to do? The answer is, absolutely. And this is one of those moments. God commanding his people to obey him and do something beyond their ability to do. And the disciples respond just as we do. Sorry, Lord, we just don't have the resources. We don't have the time. I know what you would ask of me, but it just doesn't fit my schedule right now. Maybe later. Sorry, Lord, we just don't have the volunteers. We just don't have the energy. Sorry, Lord, other things are more important to me right now. We think in terms of what can and can't be done, what we have the ability to do and what we don't. We use common sense and practicality every day to decide how we should live and what we should do. We allow the world to tell us what is possible, what is profitable, what is plausible, what is practical. And we think we are wise because we're practical. But that's the world's way of thinking, not God's. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's time for us to get our minds right, church. We have allowed the world to tell us what's up, to tell us what's right, to tell us how to live, to tell us how to think. We need a new mind. And God's mind is not the world's mind. God is not a common sense, worldly, practical God. He's not. When we first put it before the parents of the church 4 years ago, or 6 years ago actually now, that we were going to go to New York City on a mission trip, I had people stand up in anger and walk out. Some of you remember that. You weren't the ones that did it. Stand up and walk out. How dare you bring a group of children to New York City? Stand up and walk out because it's not practical. It's not safe. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we do that? Why would we go? Why? Because God said go. God is not a common sense, worldly, practical God. He's not. We need to get over that way of thinking. And his commands often make little sense in a worldly, practical way. Build an ark without access to water and no sign of rain. Offer your only son, the son I gave you, the son I promised would make you the father of many nations. Kill him. Offer that son as a sacrifice. Speak to a rock for water. Preach to wind. Preach to bones. Defeat a vast army of thousands upon thousands with 300 men, armed with pitchers and lamps and horns. Walk around a fortified city multiple times and then shout. None of that makes any worldly sense. And I know some of you who are on the practical side are sitting there going, well. But it's the truth, people. And we all struggle with it day in and day out. And God is going to lead you in ways that don't make sense. And I would challenge you that if the only way you followed God in ways that are practical to you, ways that make sense to you, you haven't been following God. Because he gets no glory from what we can do in our own strength. And what about these commands? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Love your enemy. We forget how crazy that command is, don't we? He's not saying, don't hate your enemy. That is not what Jesus says. Be a nice person. Don't be mean. Don't hate your enemy. No, Jesus takes it way beyond that. It says, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, mind, and strength. Go into all the world and make disciples. People, these are not polite suggestions or requests. These are commands. And Jesus here commands, you give them something to eat. Would God ever tell you to do something impossible for you to do? Absolutely. Because when you step out in obedience, he does the impossible. David could not defeat Goliath. Peter could not walk on water. Israel could not shout down Jericho's walls. Moses could not part the Red Sea, but God could and God did. God calls, and when we obey, when we step out in faith, regardless of what the world shows us, when we step out in obedience, knowing that we cannot perform the miracle, it is then that God does the impossible. And you may be thinking, but these are the disciples. They're special. Of course they obeyed. Of course they stepped out. I can't. Okay, well, let's understand what the disciples had already seen God do prior to this, all right? Prior to them saying, can't do it, Lord. They got back from a mission trip and had seen God work through them in mighty ways. So you'd think their faith level would be sky high. They had followed Jesus for a long time already, and they'd heard him speak words of truth and life and power. They'd watched him as he cast out demons. They watched him as he healed the sick. And they'd seen him speak to the wind and the waves and calm them. And yet, as happens so often when God commands his people, the world around them, their situation, their common sense overrides their faith. It's a familiar story. And it seems no matter how often God provides for us, when the impossible stands in our way, when he commands us beyond our comfort zone, suddenly all we see are our circumstances. These disciples were ordinary men and women like you and me, the people who follow Jesus. Do you know that Matthew and Mark both record second feedings of 4,000 men? By that I mean a second miraculous feeding that occurred after this one. Mark's account of the latter feeding is in Mark 8, and it's just two chapters after the first feeding. Matthew's account of the second miraculous feeding is in Matthew 15, which is five chapters after Matthew mentions the first one, which is this one that we're reading about today. In both accounts, we see the disciples, both accounts of the second feeding, we see the disciples saying the same old things. Our resources are not sufficient. We can't feed them. And this is what they say after they had already seen Jesus do the very thing that they were saying was impossible. The disciples were not spiritual giants. Praise God that his work does not depend on our faith. Beloved, false teachers will tell you that if you just had enough faith, you will have everything your heart desires. If you just have enough faith, you'll never get sick, you'll never be poor, and you'll always be happy. But Jesus promised that in this world we would have tribulation. And just a side note for that type of thinking, I have never met an immortal church father who never succumbed to sickness and death. Augustine's not walking around with us. He died. Did he not have enough faith? Death and disease claim us all, regardless of our faith. That is not to say that God does not heal. He does indeed. But he does the miracle, not our faith. And when someone asks me, do you believe in the power of prayer? My answer is absolutely not. I believe in the power of the one I pray to. The power of prayer is just, do you believe in the power of positive thinking? No. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. It's not dependent on me. He works the miracle, not my meager faith. And this story is a prime example of that. These disciples had little faith. They just spoke their doubt out loud to Jesus. To Jesus. And if you look at the next two feedings, they speak their doubt out loud to the guy they saw just do this very same miracle. They doubted why they divided the fish while they divided the fish and the bread. They doubted while they stepped out in obedience. But despite their doubts and despite their lack of faith, they stepped out. They stepped out. They listened. They obeyed while doubting. They obeyed and they saw him work wonders. You may feel like the disciples today. You keep hearing the Holy Spirit calling you to do something, calling you to love someone, calling you to forgive, to move past, to go beyond, to walk the extra mile, to love when you're not loved, to forgive when you're not forgiven. Forgiven, forgived. That's a new word. You put that in your... All right. To forgive when you're not forgiven. To reach out when you're forgotten. You keep hearing the Holy Spirit call you to be more like Jesus. You keep hearing the Holy Spirit call you to step out. I'm not here to tell you what God is calling you to do. The calling for all the church is the same. Be involved in kingdom work. Go and make disciples. Don't just sit and receive. Go and give. Give Jesus. Give your whole heart. Give everything you are to him and to his kingdom work. That's the calling, not just for me, but for you. All this other stuff we chase means nothing. We can't get our head around that. Especially in the Western church today, we can't get our head around that. All this stuff I fill my life with is going to be gone in 10,000 years. The only thing that's going to be here in 10,000 years are me and the people that love the Lord and the people that God has called me to share Jesus with. Those are the two most important things that we can do in our life, is know God and help others know God. Those are the only eternal things. And we take our time chasing stuff that is going to die and fade away. We got to get our minds right, people. And I know I'm meddling here. But if there's anything in our life, house, car, whatever it might be, paycheck, if that isn't given to Jesus, it's vain. It's nothing. Ouch. But it wouldn't hurt so much if our minds got right. If we saw as he saw, if he saw as he sees, it wouldn't hurt so much. So you keep hearing God calling you to do something, and you feel like those disciples. You look at your life and your circumstance, and you look at your few little loaves and a couple fish, and you think, this is all I got. What could God do with this? Beloved, if Jesus could take that meager basket and feed 5,000, He can work wonders through you. You just have to give it. Trust Him. Regardless of your circumstances. Trust Him. Regardless of the naysayers. Regardless of your perceived resources. Regardless of your past failures and past successes. Trust Him. Whether your brothers and sisters in Christ come along with you, or whether He is calling you alone, trust Him. Regardless of your doubt and meager faith, regardless of how little that basket seems, trust Him. Step out in obedience. Step out in the middle of your doubt, in the middle of your questions, when you hear Jesus say, "You give them something to eat." Step out. And you will see God move. You will see Him do awesome things in your life if you just step out when He tells you to step out. If you just open your mouth when He tells you to speak, even though you have no idea what you're going to say. If you just love when He calls you to love, even though you know you're going to be hurt for it. Step out and you will see God do wonders. Not you. God. He is the God of the impossible. And He will do wonders in your life if you just step out. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much that our relationship with You didn't begin with us. You are our future and You are our past. You are our first and You are our last. We thank You, Lord, that You desire to grow in us. You desire to work in us and to work through us. We thank You, Lord, that You desire to be close to us. And You desire us to walk side by side with You, watching You change the world through us. And Father, I pray for Your church right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we are so captive and so bound by fear and by things of this world. We are held back. We love You, Lord, but we are held back by so many things. And so, Father, I pray that You will begin to change our heart and our mind to become like Paul, where we say that I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing grace of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. God, have Your will in our lives. Call us and help us to step out. We can only do it with You, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.